here we are in DC. Yeah, you've released a bunch of files over the last couple of months talking about big tech censorship and that the government actually was working with the big tech companies to censor people. You had a long thread about this about a month and a half ago. I was on there.
Yes, sure were.
So I'm included. The government has infringed on my First Amendment rights. So my first question to you is there someone from the government here in D.C. that will apologize to me? Well, I know you don't get cash. You don't get a gift. You don't get a board game.
Yeah. They not only won't apologize to you, they're gonna defend what they did oftentimes. And what's sad is used to be the Democrats cared about the First Amendment just as much as conservatives. You could go back 40, 50, 60 years ago. Maybe they were their ones even fighting for free speech rights even more. But now it's sad because we have these hearings. If you remember when we had Taibbi in front of the committee maybe a year ago, a little less than a year ago, and the Democrats were asking him to divulge his sources.
Yeah.
Someone like, you need a lesson in the First Amendment because he's in the press. He'd have to give you his sources. And at the same time that was happening, by the way, the IRS was knocking on his door. I mean, you talked about intimidation. So
literally at the exact same time.
Same time. Turned out the IRS actually owed him money, which is sort of the irony of it all. But yeah, this is, you know, we use the term weaponization of government, but I think in a poll in Iowa back before the caucuses, they asked voters, 8 out of 10 voters felt like the government was, in fact, had in fact been weaponized against them. And they think that because it has. And it's like, that's why we keep highlighting what's going on. And I will say this too, we have had some success in that the IRS announced 5 months ago, the commissioner said we will no longer be sending agents to Americans' home, unannounced visits to Americans' homes. And Mr. Warfall announced that. He said, well, we're doing this for the safety of our agents.
Oh, yes, because it's the piss that the taxpayer is the problem.
They're doing it because we caught him. Right. And it's like the same with the Disinformation Governance Board at DHS. So I like to think we're starting to have an impact.
How hopeful are you in all your years of Congress at the point that you can actually shift things in the right direction? Maybe not shift them fully in the way you want to go, but that you can actually kind of steer things a little bit better, because that seems to be the best you can get out of DC.
Yeah, no, good question. I'm always optimistic about when we live in America. You got to be optimistic. It's the greatest country ever. And I do think more and more voters are saying, wait a minute, this is not how it's supposed to be. And I'm encouraged because if you step back and kind of look at the big picture, the left controls everything. Left controls big media, left controls big tech, big corporation, big sports, watch the NBA, left controls Hollywood, higher education, you name it. But the left doesn't control we the people, and we still win elections. We still get conservatives and people who libertarians and people who believe in freedoms and the Constitution. Making a difference. So I'm always optimistic.
All right, let's talk about this border situation because that's obviously the hot thing at the moment. When I saw the original version of this a couple of days ago, immediately I was like, do not sign on to this thing. You know, this is just more power to the government, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like this thing's dead, at least in Congress, right?
So I think so.
At least in the House. I take it you're not a fan of
giving
more power to the administration. And Biden could close the border, right now?
Yeah. I mean, but he probably won't stop something that he intentionally started. And that's what I think the country is realizing more and more is like they did this on purpose, willfully, deliberately, intentionally. They decided day one to change three fundamental policies. No more wall, no more wait in Mexico. Once you're here, you will not be detained. Well, when you announce that and you do that, everyone wants to come. And the magnitude of this problem now is we're on pace to get to 12 million migrants coming to the country in Biden's presidency, 4 years. It's where over 8 million have been encounters and gotaways and all the terms they use. But
that's on top of the 12 that we think.
No, we're on pace. We're on pace during his during his presidency to get to 12 million. I tell people that's equivalent to the entire population of Ohio.
Yeah.
We're the seventh largest state. So that's the magnitude of this. And they did it intentionally. So they can stop it if they put back in place those policies. They just don't want to do it.
So when you talk to your colleagues on the other side, do they believe it's intentional? What do they think Biden's intentions are? This is just a replacement of voters, you know?
That's the $12 million question. I mean, whatever number. That's the question, is why are they doing it? I got to believe it's political. Sometimes I think it's just, well, President Trump did A, B, and C, so we're going to do, you know, we're going to do D, E, and F. We're not going to do what he did. We're going to do the opposite. And it's like, why don't we just do what works and what secures our border? So I don't know. I'm actually now, and we're down to, I think, two options. He's not going to fix it. President Biden's not going to. So we can wait for the election. Just like this is, and it's obviously in front of mind of voters. It's one of the top issues when you look at polling. So, we, and it's a clear choice. President Trump, who had our border secure, Joe Biden, who doesn't. So we can wait for that. Or we can use the power the Constitution the framers gave us, which is the power of the purse. And we can say, on this spending bill's coming due next month, we can say, I think one sentence, no money, just call a timeout. No money can be used to process or release into the country any new migrant. So just say, timeout. We're not going to exacerbate the problem. We're going to stop here. We'll deal with evaluating the 8 million have come thus far. And they'll go through the adjudication process and we'll see if they actually are legitimate asylum seekers. But no more. And that is exactly opposite of what this bill was designed, this bill that was introduced in the Senate was going to just keep letting the flow happen.
Right. So when you saw what Greg Abbott did about a week ago, I take it you were kind of into it. Now 25 other Republican governors have signed on to that. Is that really the way kind of the future of governance, that the states will just return to doing what they've got to do because this thing in this town that we're in is just calcified and busted?
Until we get a new president. I mean, but you can't blame Governor Abbott and the state of Texas. You can't blame the other border states and other conservatives who now, because the problem, the concern is, you know, coming to every state. I mean, look, Democrat mayor of New York, Mayor Adams, look at the mayor. They've been saying, wait, we got to deal with it. So think about, you talk about stupid. Remember when Abbott and Texas put up the fence?
Yeah.
So the state was doing it. And Joe Biden said, we're going to use federal tax dollars to tear down the fence that Texas taxpayers had put up that was actually working. You talk about stupid, but that is this administration.
So, what do you make of the strange situation that we're in, where it now seems like the red states are kind of going against the Supreme Court because of that 5-4 decision? And we're the ones that actually believe in the powers that be and separation of powers and
decisions
and things of that nature.
Yeah, no, I get nervous about this. You know, I remember when President Biden was sworn in, I actually went to the inauguration, and there was a part of his speech that made, he talked about unity and coming together as a country, which we definitely need. But then after he said that, he went to the, you know, finished his speech, and he went to the Oval Office and he signed 20 executive orders that divided the country.
Yeah.
And then a year ago, he stands in front of Independence Hall and gives that creepy speech with all the red lights and calls half the country fascist. It's not healthy, but we'll be all right. We're Americans. We'll be all right.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Is he the pilot of the plane right now? Who's the pilot of the plane? I don't think anyone believes it's him at this point.
Anyone with common sense. No one with common sense believes it. I mean, it's sad because he's our president. I mean, I disagree with his policies, always have. But you want your president to be capable of handling the job. And it sure appears that he's just not. And I don't take any, there's no joy in saying that for any of us because he's the commander in chief of our great country. But I think day to day, it's probably the chief of staff who sort of runs the day to day operations. I mean, just sort of the nature of how these offices work. But who's making the strategic decisions and policy decisions? I don't know.
What do you sense the driving ethos of the Democrats is at this point? It's hard to tell. On one hand, it's kind of open borders, let everybody in, DEI. Like, it just seems like so much craziness. Like, there's got to be somebody there. Fetterman is suddenly the same Democrat.
What has
happened to this party?
Yeah, the left has control of it. Sarah Huckabee Sanders said it best a year ago when she gave the response to the State of the Union. I thought she just knocked it out of the park. And she said, the divide in America today is normal versus crazy. And it's like, you could have the list. It is, and the left is all, on all the crazy positions. the left, it is crazy to defund the police. It is crazy to let non-citizens vote. It is crazy to not have a border. It is crazy to think boys are allowed to compete against girls in sports. Like the left always accuses the conservatives of that you guys are fighting the culture wars. No, we're not. We're just for regular. My favorite. It is
what they mean is you're fighting back.
Yes. Yes. Right. Right. You got to just lay down. And take. Yeah. The one that gets me is, it is crazy to let a Chinese spy balloon fly across the country and then shoot it down. I tell folks, I'm just a country boy from Western Ohio. I think I'd have probably shot it down before it went across the country. I think I know President Trump.
Speaking of Chinese spies, we were having dinner last night at a state joint. Eric Swalwell was there. Like, there's a guy that slept with a Chinese spy in Congress and nobody cares.
Yeah. So the craziness. So I think this campaign coming up, it is so clear. The contrast is so stark, so sharp. We went in literally 3 years now, and what are we at? 3 years and 17 days of the Biden administration. We went from a secure border to no border. We went from safe streets to record crime. We went from $2 gas to $4 gas. We went from stable prices to record inflation. We went from being respected around the world and straight from the Oval Office and President Trump to Joe Biden. And we've had these agencies turned against we the people. That is the campaign. Do you want Trump, who did all the things right here on the policy issues and actually projected strength from the Oval Office in foreign policy, and Hamas and Hezbollah didn't attack our best friend Israel when he was president, or do you want Biden? And it's like, I don't see how you can make it any sharper, any clearer for the American people. And that's why I think President Trump's going to win.
So you are bullish on that. It's not just that the ideas are better. It's that you actually think that the votes will be there.
In some ways, it's the old Reagan question. You're better off now than you were 4 years ago. And everyone's like, no. And we're not safer. We don't have the leadership in this town that we used to have with President Trump. So I think, again, America, that common sense, I think they see it. I think he would.
I just want to bring this back to the border thing before I let you go. So can you just talk about how they put these bills together? Because I think a lot of people are looking at this thing right now and they're going, okay, whether this fixes the border, that's one part of the bill. But then there's $60 billion for Ukraine. There's all these other things in there. And people just don't understand what these things have to do with each other. And I saw Chuck Schumer, I think, on MSNBC last night, basically threatening nobody will get anything unless we get exactly what we want, which is how a 4-year-old behaved.
Yeah.
Who writes the freaking thing? When you get it on your desk,
no, here's,
how do you look at it? How do you analyze it?
Yeah. With this one, I mean, we have some great staff on the Judiciary Committee, particularly on immigration and immigration enforcement policy, who went through this. They said this bill's terrible on that area. But the White House says we need money for Ukraine. The experts in the State Department or whatever say, well, we need $60 billion or whatever the number is. And then that's the number that, oh, shazam, experts said we need $60 billion. So then they sit down and it's these negotiations where it looked like it was largely just three members, Lankford, Sinema, and Murphy. And then they come out with this product and you're like,
which is bipartisan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, the way it's supposed to work is you actually have a committee, you have hearings. They put together legislation, and then you go to the full body. There's an amendment process, and we, the people, get to weigh in via their representative and or senator and have an impact on the legislation. And then when it's all amendments offered and debated and voted on, and then there's a final package, then there's an up or down vote versus this package that gets thrown in front of you, whether it's a spending bill, whether it's a comprehensive immigration reform bill, along with Ukraine funding. And you're supposed to vote on it. That's not how the process is supposed to work. Let's have the debate. 435 of us in the House, 100 in the Senate. Let a committee, full House, Senate, committee, full Senate. And you got that. If we follow the process, we definitely get a better crop.
So you're saying we should do things as they were set up to be.
Imagine that.
My final question for you is this. Is there one Democrat in this town that will talk to me? We can't get anybody.
Really?
We can't get anybody. I know I'm scary.
No, there should be, because there are still some.
Did your guys get us a list while we're here? Somebody?
You know, I always tell this story. One of my good friends, literally a friend, we talked a couple weeks ago, is Dennis Kucinich. And, Kucinich is like,
as I said, retired.
Yeah, but he's actually running.
Is he coming back?
Trying to run as an independent. But when he was here, we were friends. And he's like way, way over here on the left. And I'm a conservative. But like he believes in, he was an old school Democrat who actually believes in the First Amendment. And so you would think you could get, because I know how much you champion the First Amendment. I think you could get a Democrat to come talk to you about privacy and First Amendment rights and Fourth Amendment liberties.
All right, you're going to find me a Democrat, and then you're going to find someone from
the I got to sign.
Apologize. They're getting you. Yeah, anybody that's moving. Good seeing you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for all the good work you do.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. Don't forget to review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. If you're looking for early and exclusive content, you can join me on Locals at rubinreport.locals.com.